afraid this is one of those days where you have to put up with me both leading worship and preaching. Sorry about that. But I've changed music stands so you can see that I've changed roles. We have a rubbish bin at home. You probably do too. But this is a special rubbish bin. It wasn't always a rubbish bin. It's been upcycled by Astrid. And I think the story of this rubbish bin probably demonstrates one or two of the differences between Astrid and me. Because sometimes on our days off, we'll wander around some town centre or other and visit what can only be described, with the best will in the world, as junk shops. And I very much tend to the view that they are called junk shops for a reason. And my money stays in my pocket. But occasionally Astrid will go into one of these shops and she will spot a project. And on this occasion, what she spotted in a shop in Boscombe was a coal scuttle. Now, for the benefit of those of you who were born sometime after the Victorian era, a coal scuttle is like a tall metal bin. It's quite narrow, quite tall, and it has a handle on top. And in the olden days, people would put coal into that to take into their house so it would be nice and handy for their coal fires. To be fair, the proprietors of this junk shop had cleaned it up fairly nicely. It looked all right. It was a shiny coal scuttle. But it was just a coal scuttle, for heaven's sake, so I walked straight past it. But Astrid saw it, and she said, "I could decoupage that." Now, for the benefit of those who don't possess a loyalty card at Hobbycraft, decoupage is actually spelt deco-patch. I thought it was deco-patch for many years. And it basically involves buying pretty wrapping paper and ripping it up and then pasting it onto the side of an object to make it a pretty object. It's kind of papier-mâché for grown-ups. And so we bought this coal scuttle, much to Astrid's delight, and we headed out onto Boscombe High Street. And when we got onto Boscombe High Street with the coal scuttle, it was just starting to rain, and rain really quite hard. And we were not prepared or equipped or dressed for that at all. And then Astrid got a big grin on her face and said, "Well, I'm okay." And she lifted up the coal scuttle like some kind of steampunk rain hat over her head. And in that moment, we discovered that the junk shop owner had done a pretty spectacular job of cleaning the outside of the coal scuttle. But the inside, not so much. Astrid disappeared in a billowing cloud of soot. And when she re-emerged, her face looked like a Victorian chimney sweep, with the rain slowly making it trickle down her face. It was all cleaned up and presentable on the outside, but on the inside, it was a complete mess. I wonder whether you've ever felt like that. Actually, I think it's true of every single human being that's able to take responsibility for their own actions. We have some mess going on inside, don't we? We have some mess going on inside. There's the mess that we freely admit very openly to everyone else around us. There's the mess that we would never tell a soul. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know it's there. And then there's the mess that we deny even to ourselves. But it's there all the same, on the inside of us. An awful lot of that mess is down to what the Bible calls our own sin and our failure. The Bible's really blunt. It says this. It says, all have sinned. Every single one of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's a difficult verse these days, because we live in an age where nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. Nobody wants to be found to be wrong over anything. But the Bible says that we all have done wrong. We prefer to present the shiny cleaned up outside. But if we look inside, if we're brutally honest with ourselves, we've all sinned. Just imagine for a moment, imagine there was a screen floating over your head that displayed in sort of, you know, 56-inch full colour for anyone around you to see every single thought that ever went through your mind. And another one above my head. How long would it be before we were cancelled by the entire human race just for the things that we're thinking? Be honest. Well, don't be honest. No, please don't. But be honest with yourself. We've all sinned. We all entertain thoughts in our minds that we would be mortified if the other people around us could see them. We've all said things, often to the people that we love the most, that the moment we've said them, we've wished we could suck those words back into our mouth and have never said them at all. But we've all done that. And we've all seen the damage that that's done. We've all done things and then wished that life had an undo function like the apps on your phone do, haven't we? We've all done it. And that's just comparing us with our own standards. Imagine if we were being compared with the standards of a perfect, holy God. So every single one of us, it's been holiday club week, and I like my visual aids, so we'll see how this goes. Every single one of us has some mess going on inside. And most of it is of our own making. But there's also the damage and the scars from things that have happened to us and been said to us and done to us. Some of it genuinely wasn't our fault, but that still left us with mess. And the truth is, this stuff messes up our lives and it messes up our ability to receive the full presence of God in the way that he wants us to. So we need to be saved from ourselves. That is very, very slowly. We all have a load of mess going on the inside. And so God sent a saviour in the person of his son, Jesus, who had no mess, who had no sin, who had nothing wrong inside him. He was clean and perfect, but he came to rescue us. Now, the Bible says something about baptism that sounds strange and almost macabre when you first read it. In Romans 6, it says this: "Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" When you become a Christian and get baptized, your baptism symbolizes something that you bought into the day you became a Christian. And I think this is quite a powerful thing. I think it's a freeing thing. I hope I can explain it to you in a way that will help you to understand it. What does it mean to be baptized into the death of Jesus? Let me try and explain that. Jesus, the Son of God, was utterly perfect. No sin, no mess, clean. But the Bible describes him taking our mess upon himself as he approached his death on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's Jesus taking the mess that we have caused, that we've brought upon ourselves, onto himself. In Isaiah 53, it says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions." That's our transgressions, not his. "He was crushed for our iniquities." Iniquities is another word for sin or wrongdoing. "The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." That's Jesus taking the mess that we've caused ourselves and the mess that's been dumped on us by life, because they're both inside us. But Jesus, who had no mess of his own, took it all upon himself. And they killed him by crucifying him on a cross. I need somebody who knows what they're doing with a hammer. You, sir, you look like you know what you're doing with a hammer. I was looking at you, actually. Could I just get you to break that bottle? Give it a really good whack. Yeah, that went, didn't it? Give it another one if you want. Yeah, that's great. They killed him by nailing him on a cross. And they placed him inside a tomb. Oh, and then they closed the tomb, of course. And when he went, our sin and our mess and all that stuff that he'd taken inside him went with him to the cross and into the tomb. But of course, the wonder of Easter, the wonder of Jesus, is that on the third day, a miracle happened. And they found the tomb open, but Jesus wasn't inside anymore. And he wasn't inside because he wasn't dead. He was alive and he was whole. And the mess, our mess, had gone. So why do we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus as much as we do? Why do we talk about and sing about sharing in his death? It's because only through sharing in his death that we get to share in his resurrection. And it's only through sharing in his death and resurrection that we get our mess taken away. You see, God isn't in the business of cleaning up the outside and doing a quick decoupage on us to make us look good. He wants to change us on the inside as well. That verse I read a few minutes ago from Romans, it finishes off like this. I'll read the whole thing again. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's what we've celebrated today by being baptized. And that's the invitation that God makes to every single one of us because of what Jesus did at Easter time. Ruth's baptism is her public declaration that the new life that the Bible talks about is real, that it makes a difference, that the presence of God is real and it makes a difference, that his love is all-surpassing and that it makes a difference, that being filled with his presence makes all the difference in the world. And every single one of us in this room who have been baptized have nailed our colours to the mast too. And if you're exploring faith and making your own mind up, I really want to encourage you to find out for yourself, to test it out for yourself, to explore it for yourself. Don't write it off without exploring it, without checking it out. My background before I became a minister was I trained in science. And so I was taught not to believe anything unless there's good evidence to back it up, unless you've explored the evidence and found out for yourself. And it might surprise you to find that the Bible encourages us to do exactly the same thing, to take exactly the same approach to faith. In Psalm 34, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Find out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it because I've got a microphone on my head. Don't just take Ruth's word for it because she got baptized today. Test it out for yourself. Gather some evidence. It always amazes me how unscientific people sometimes are in their approach to the most important sort of life-changing decision you will ever make, which is what you're going to believe. Because doing this job, I sometimes have quite bizarre conversations with people about faith. Someone will say to me, "Prayer doesn't work, it's a load of poppycock." And so I'll say, "Okay, what have you prayed about?" "Oh, I've never prayed in my life." So where's your evidence? Where are you getting your data from? Or somebody will say, "Jesus never existed and the Bible's a load of fairy tales." So I'll say, "Okay, have you explored what non-Christian historians have to say about Jesus? Which bits of the Bible have you actually read?" "Oh, I've never read the Bible." So how do you know? Where are you getting your evidence from? "Well, I know it's not true because my mum told me it's a load of nonsense." And I'm sure your mum's amazing, but she also told you that if it didn't change, she'd be stuck like that, didn't she? You've got to get your own data. You've got to find it out for yourself. Test it out. You owe it to yourself to find out for yourself. Try praying. See what happens. Try reading the Bible. Try asking the God you're not sure whether you really believe in what your life might look like if it was filled with his presence. What's the worst that could happen? Come and hang out with us at church for a few weeks and see whether what we talk about here holds water or whether it doesn't. Now, I don't say that to put us on a pedestal. Yeah, please don't judge Jesus on the basis of us. Be honest, you probably wouldn't want us to judge you on the basis of your children. Please don't judge Jesus on the basis of us. But give yourself the chance to taste and see that the Lord is good. Give yourself the chance to find out. You might just be surprised at what you discover the truth to be. But for those of us who have done our research and who have checked it out and come to a conclusion and know how real Jesus is and how powerful a difference it makes what he's done for us, today is our celebration of new life. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Let's pray together, shall we? In this church, we believe that God's real. We believe that God speaks to us. And often after one of us speaks, we give you the opportunity to respond. That's not for everybody else's benefit. It's between you and God. So everyone's got their eyes closed. But if I ask you to put a hand up, that's just a you and God thing, just so he knows what your response to what you've been thinking about this morning is. So, Lord, I want to pray that you would meet with us by your Spirit, just as we sit and reflect on what we've heard from Ruth, what we've seen, what we've experienced of your presence this morning. Lord, would you meet with us where we've got questions, where we've got uncertainty? Would you meet with us where we say, like we heard earlier, I'm not really a churchy kind of a person. Sometimes I think you're not really a churchy kind of God, Lord, but you still want to meet with us. Would you show us how that works? Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts? And I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If what's going on inside you at the moment is, I just don't know about this, but I'm going to check it out. I'm going to explore it a bit more. I'm going to find out a bit more. I need to know for myself. So I'm going to choose to put myself in a place where I can taste and see whether or not the Lord is good. And I'm just going to ask you, not for my benefit and not for anybody else's, because everybody else has got their eyes closed, but I'm just going to ask you to pop a hand in the air, because that's you saying something to God. Nobody else is looking. Great, thank you. Second way in which some people might want to respond is actually you have done your research, you have been finding out, you have been checking this out, maybe for a while, and you've reached a point where you know that it's real. But you've never actually made the decision. Yes, this is me, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus, that's who I am. And it may be that today's the day you want to make that decision. It's like a line in the sand day. And if that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer and ask you to not say it out loud, but just to repeat it in your head. Say amen to it at the end as a way of signifying that to God. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a saviour. But I believe that you are the Son of God who came to rescue us. I believe that you died to take away my sin and mess, and that you rose again with those things defeated. And so today I choose to turn away from my old life and to accept you as my Saviour and my Lord. This is my new beginning. Please would you fill me with your Spirit. Guide my path. Let me know your presence with me every day of my life. Amen. Amen. Keep your eyes closed, please. If you've just prayed that prayer and you know you've just prayed it for the first time, again, would you just wave a hand in the air? This is for God's benefit, nobody else's. Thank you. And then the third way you might want to respond is you've just been inspired by seeing Ruth get baptised and you've realised, yeah, I've been following Jesus, I've made my decision, and it's time for me to nail my colours to the mast. It's time for me to get baptised. It's time for me to take that step and make it a public thing. And again, if that's you, I just want to ask you to pop a hand in the air quickly, not for anybody else's benefit, just as your commitment before God that that's the step you're going to take. Thank you. Lord God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the risen Lord Jesus. That he isn't a little part of our lives, that he gives us life, that he is the centre of life. And thank you that we get to live life in connection with you because of his death and resurrection. And Lord, I pray for all those that have just responded, those that have responded visibly and those that have responded on the inside, that they will know as they go away from here the reality of what they've just said to you, and that they will follow up on that and live that out. Lord, we celebrate our risen Saviour. Amen. Amen.